Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple way.
So if you are interested in the Bible and the study of God, then you're at the right place.
We are Josh and Heather Tice with the Bible Talks.
And this is NPR.
No, we've done 25 openings.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I just wanted to
just
make
wanted to
this one a little bit different.
Okay.
So if you like theology, but don't consider yourself a deep theologian, this is the show for you.
We're Josh and Heather Tice. I can't do it.
In a world where we each love each other and
I'll
love
just
theology,
do an accent.
We also love to talk. What?
I'll just do an accent.
That was it. That was our opener. We always begin with a little fun. So, Heather, let's get started.
Alrighty then.
Oh, my word.
All right, welcome to the Bible Talks, and I have a fun question for today. I'm looking forward to hearing your answer, Josh.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I am ready and steady, like Eddie.
Okay, Freddie.
Please don't do that.
I can't think of any other words that rhyme with it.
That was my thing. I was doing the rhyming, and then you jumped in like it was your thing. I've been practicing that since last night, and I feel like you were mocking it a little bit, is what I think.
Okay, get out the letty. The lead out
Please.
Of your... I don't
yeah, I
know.
I get it. It's
okay.
Not...
Okay, wow. Get out of Betty.
Right. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Okay, what do you miss about being a child?
What do I miss about being a child?
Let's talk about it. This is only for adults. So if you're listening, and I know we've got some families that listen to this, children... You don't get to answer.
Right. I'm sure there are a lot of kids that have downloaded this on their MP3 player.
No, there are families that listen to it as it plays on the radio.
True. Yeah, that's true.
At Experience Liberty.
Experience Liberty.
Yeah, little KVXL 101.1.
Experience Liberty Radio.
Yeah, so we've got some families that listen and they enjoy doing the Bible Would You Rather. So kids, you don't get to answer this fun question. So
right,
back
because
off.
You're still a child. So just obey. Yeah. All right. What do I miss about being a child?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I miss not pain. When I was a kid, we would
that's
do stuff.
A good one.
We would go to dinner.
I thought about that.
Go to McDonald's. We go to Disneyland, and I didn't pay. I didn't
yeah,
pay. I
didn't
think
carry
about
that
how
weight.
Much it cost.
Yeah.
I just went, and then I would ask for stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't mean anything to me. He could buy dad or mom could buy 1,000 of whatever that is. It didn't mean anything to me.
Mm.
So I miss not pain. That's what I miss.
Wow, that is really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. About you? What do you miss?
I feel like a very immature and irresponsible person because I can think of so many things I miss. I had a great childhood. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I miss not ever having to cook. Oh, I love that. Had fresh vegetables. Mom always had fresh vegetables for us from the garden. I miss goats.
You know what? We should make our kids start cooking now.
Playing with my goats and riding my bike. And I really miss the flexibility of schedule.
That's true. That's a lot of people.
You know, I didn't
you know,
have
Heather,
the pressure
you just
I
tapped,
have now.
You just tapped into, I think, a common thing with many people. They miss playing with their goats.
I knew that would relate
there are
to our audience.
A lot of people
audience.
Out there relating to that right now.
No, but seriously, the schedule. That's what I'm going to go with. Huh. I miss the pressures. I was so able to just focus on really school and
right.
everything else was just, you know, it was easy going. I didn't have to worry about stuff. I could just go play with my goats, ride my bike, you know, do volleyball,
yeah.
softball, cheer, whatever. I didn't have to
I
carry the
yeah.
the pressures
of
adulthood.
Life. Yes. The weight of the world is upon our
yes.
shoulders now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've got to say, I really, honestly, I loved my childhood. I had a great childhood. But I really don't want to go back.
See,
anyway,
I would go back. I wouldn't go back because I love you and the children, and
yeah.
I love parenting. Parenting is a lot of work, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, I do miss sometimes. There are so many times I think, oh, I just wish I could sit down and read that book.
Mm.
You know, and I really have to squeeze my reading time in. I'm definitely not reading out by a beautiful pond. You know, I'm.
Your childhood was very different than mine.
So, yeah, so I had a great childhood. What about you? You're a listener. What do you miss about being a kid? Is there something that maybe you thought of we didn't? Be sure and comment on our Facebook page, Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. I would love to hear from you.
All right. Today we're talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ. What I've liked is we've done every other episode, we do something different, and then we have these theological episodes. And mm-hmm. we've kind of gone already through The birth of Christ. We've talked about the humiliation of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we're going to get into the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the exaltation of Jesus Christ, what are we talking about, Heather? What do we mean?
So when we're talking about the exaltation of Jesus, we're talking about his story coming full circle. We talked about his humiliation of him coming to earth and becoming a man. Then we go to the crucifixion, the resurrection. And now this is where God is fully exalting him. It's kind of the close there of that circle.
Right. The best passage on this is the Philippians chapter 2 passage where it says, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became in the likeness of man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look at all the down, 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 down. Remember, we talked about this. You go down to go up. And then in verse 9, it says, then God highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things of heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's the story arc of Jesus Christ. That's what's taking place. He comes to earth, humiliates himself, he humbles himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and then God raises him up. So it's a beautiful story arc of the Messiah's story, but it also is an example for the follower of Jesus. We humble ourselves, and God exalts us as
so
we follow Christ.
So I would say, when we're talking about the exaltation of Jesus, there's really kind of three parts to it.
Yes.
The beginning of it starts with his resurrection, which we talked about a lot in the last podcast, but I thought it would be good just to very briefly walk through exactly what happened. So on the day of his resurrection, he appears first to
Mary Magdalene. Yes.
And then the women returning from the tomb, then Peter and the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then the other apostles.
And there's so much to be said here, because what's fascinating to those who are students of history is that the entire story of Christianity rests upon the shoulders and the testimony of a woman. Now, this is a shocking thing for antiquity, because a woman that's not married, a woman like Mary Magdalene, everything that is known of Christianity is going to rest upon her shoulders. This is incredible in and of itself, and I believe another proof of the resurrection. So Jesus shows up to her first. One of the things I think, we've talked about this before, Heather, I'd love to hear more thoughts on this. One of the things that about Mary Magdalene that the modern church does not do well is understand how the early church viewed her. The early church viewed her, and you can see this in the writings of the early fathers, as one of the greatest leaders of the early church, and how Mary Magdalene, because of her testimony and her prevalence in the Gospels, was one of the great leaders. And I think it's fascinating that he shows up to Mary Magdalene first. Why do you think he does that?
I don't know.
You don't remember that full sermon I did on that? You love that
sermon? Oh, it was a sermon, and I'm supposed to remember from a sermon?
A
long time ago. You know I don't remember things from a long time ago. No, I mean, we have talked a lot about the importance of women in the early church, which sometimes today's local church
I'm just devastated you don't remember the sermon about Mary Magdalene. Wow.
No, I am so sorry. Well, share with me what you wanted me to share.
No, here's what. I want all of this to stay in this episode because humiliation, the whole point of it, humiliation leads to exaltation.
After this humiliation. No, I mean, we have talked a lot about women in the early church. And what I was going to say is I think that truly, and here we're going to maybe get into an area we may not want to get into, but I really think we should. The modern church today misses out because I don't think we have the view of women that even the early church did.
Right.
The emphasis that the Lord had on women in the church and serving and allowing women to even lead within the church.
Absolutely. Absolutely agreement. Now, I would be, and I believe you as well, would be traditional complementarians, where we believe that God has called a woman to complement the man in ministry and in life and in the family. But at the same time, that we believe that that's very specifically held to within the aspect of Paul's teaching to Timothy, certain roles that
one in particular,
and that would be of the senior elder teacher,
right,
within the context of the local church. But that doesn't mean that women can't serve in ministry, be hired into ministry, and serve and lead in ministry context.
Yeah, when you look at the Great Commission, it's not gender specific. Yeah. Go teach and baptize. No,
right.
That is actually for all Christians.
And you see that all throughout the early church.
Yes.
You see a prevalence of that. I mean, one great leader of the early church, which we weren't planning on talking about this, was a woman who got saved standing by a river when the Apostle mm-hmm. Paul came, right? And her yeah. name is Lydia. The Bible tells us that the church was in Lydia's house, that she was, in all essence, a founding member of the church back in her hometown. So we see that quite a bit throughout the New Testament. Yes. We see that throughout the early church era. And
I would just love to hear your opinion on why you think the Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene first. Could you share with us? I want to throw that question to you because I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. I would say because I think that number one, he obviously
know the answer, and we've discussed this. But I just want you to tell the audience.
He obviously had a close relationship with Mary, but there's a couple things. Number one, Mary was the first one there. So that shows her heart. And I think that the Lord, it's a trite way to say it, but the Lord shows up to those who show up. And here she is, truly grieving the Lord and his stolen body. That's what she thinks at this point. And scared to death about that. And because she shows up, I think he shows up. I think he sees that to her. I also think it's strategic, too, because I think Jesus is making a point here. And that point is, I think it's fascinating that the entire accuracy of the resurrection story is based upon the testimony of a woman, and a woman like Mary Magdalene, yes. and a woman who's not married, which in this day and age would have been highly questionable. So that if you're going to make up a story about Jesus, why don't we put it in the hands of somebody who is a community leader like Joseph of Arimathea? Why not say Joseph of Arimathea was the first one? Or the Apostle John, who had specific connections to the Sanhedrin? Or at least a man.
Right.
But so I think Jesus was strategic in that way. So there are other things, but regardless, on the day of his resurrection, he appears, and this begins the exaltation process of Jesus Christ. And we've spent a lot of time talking about the people who saw Jesus, but really it wasn't about them, it was about Jesus right. himself.
Well, even after that, between his resurrection, before his ascension, which we'll get to, he appears to others like Thomas, to the seven disciples by the Lake of Tiberias, he eats with them, above 500 brethren at once. James, which we talked about a lot in that podcast about the resurrection and Jesus's time with James.
Yeah, if you haven't heard about that one, go back and listen to the Resurrection of Jesus episode. Mm-hmm. That one, we really talk about the importance of James's testimony, the brother of Jesus.
And then you've got time with the 11 apostles. And then you get to his ascension, okay? During his ascension, we're going to talk about that, the 11 apostles see him. And then after his ascension, he appears to Stephen,
right.
Paul, and John, while John's on Patmos.
Right, so we see Jesus constantly appearing to all these people, and so what is this? This is, of course, proof of the resurrection. But even more so, it's the story arc of Jesus concluding in that the exaltation is continuing. How is he exalted? He is being proven right by eyewitness accounts that he is who he said he was, and he did what he said he would do.
Now, the exaltation continues with the ascension. So let's talk about that. And I'm excited about this because,
yes.
this is something I've heard so many sermons on the death of Christ, on the resurrection, but I've only heard a few. It's not talked about as much. We don't right. focus much attention on his ascension.
Right. So 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus is standing with his disciples in his favorite place with the disciples, and that is, again,
the top of Mount Olives.
Right, the top of the Mount of Olives near the Garden of Gethsemane, the same place where Jesus was taken by the temple guards and then beaten and then eventually crucified. So they're back in their place where they like to teach, where they like to spend time together, and the Bible says this is the moment 40 days later, because he spends 40 days meeting these people and proving he's alive, he ascends literally up into the clouds.
Yeah, and now you could talk a lot about the clouds here. Many people will point to the fact that the clouds always kind of point to deity or the presence of God.
Yes.
You see that in the Old Testament where a cloud comes and fills the temple, and the cloud would lead the children of Israel in the wilderness.
Right, in the book of Exodus, yes. the Shekinah glory, this cloud-like thing led. So it's very important symbolically that Jesus is taken up in a cloud. He's not taken up in a chariot of fire like Elijah, right?
That was a whirlwind. The chariot, doesn't the chariot come through and break them apart, Elijah
point,
and Elijah, and he
point.
Goes up in a whirlwind?
Good point. This is why I like you.
Because he didn't want to get burned. I'd burnt you.
That is not.
Anyway.
But no, but yeah. you're right. But so he's ascending. So there's this symbolism of this cloud is extremely important. It is saying that Jehovah God, Father God, God himself is ascending up in the cloud. And
also relates to prophecy of how he's going to come again.
Right.
In fact, Revelation kind of chapter one opens up with this, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
Yeah, so it's the way he's coming back. In fact, it was the angels that told the disciples. I mean, you can imagine, right? The disciples are all watching as Jesus ascends into this cloud, and Jesus is telling them his last words, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as Jesus gives the commission, he sends in the clouds, and the disciples are just watching him, like a little boy watching a balloon going into the sky to where you can't see him. And Jesus disappears. He's gone. And their angels suddenly are standing beside them. I can just imagine all these disciples stopped, and they're looking around, and all of a sudden there's a couple bright, shining angels there, and they're like, what are y'all looking at? In fact, they literally
I love that
say,
they're southern angels.
Yeah,
did
what
you
do
pick
y'all?
That up? There's some good theology right
Most
there.
Most angels are southern.
Oh.
Yeah. Most southerners are angels. Yeah. How about that?
Well,
no, that's not true. Okay, so they're watching, and then they're like, hey, what are you looking at? And then they say this, why stand you here gazing? Why are you looking up into the clouds? The same Jesus who left you in like manner will return also. So then Revelation indicates exactly that in like manner literally means coming in the clouds. He's coming back. Now the answer is get out there and do your job.
Now there's a couple of things that the ascension provides for us as Christians,
what
as modern day Christians. So first of all, because he went back, he said, it's good for me to go. He was telling the disciples, because who was going to come?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said, now I'm leaving, but because I'm leaving, you're going to get the Holy Spirit.
If the ascension didn't happen, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. He said it specifically in the upper room. If I go not
Which
away.
Which women were present at.
Yes, they
flannel
were.
Flannel graph doesn't show that. Big flannel graph. They're hiding
flannel.
That from you.
We're always concerned about big flannel. They've controlled Christianity for far too long.
When that hit me, though, that women were present in the upper room and part of praying, whew, mind blown.
Mind blown.
Yeah, but continue on.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on this discussion
women
about
women in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, in the confusing Ooh. Place of women in ministry. I think that would be an interesting conversation.
I don't know if you're ready for that, Josh Dice.
I am more ready than you. I started you down this biblical path, my friend.
You sure did, actually. So, but truthfully, the ascension, one of the reasons I celebrate is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I cannot wait. We're going to have that in our next podcast. It's going to be all about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about what sometimes you could almost call him the forgotten God, because how we don't focus on him and his presence.
I mean, he is. Here's the idea. People, if you were to ask the average Christian, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus was back on earth? They would say, yeah, we would love to have Jesus. No, you wouldn't. Mm. Look, no. You say, oh, what are you talking about? That's heretical. No. Jesus said, I need to leave. Because if I don't leave, I'm not going to send him. Who's him? The other comforter, one like me. What's the difference? What makes the Holy Spirit better than Jesus in the church age? Not better in any quality, but better for us in the church age. Here's how. Jesus, being a man, could be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is able to be in all places simultaneously. If Jesus was physically on earth, he would show up at one church every Sunday. The Holy Spirit can be at every church every Sunday, and the Holy Spirit can be in the heart and in the mind and in the eyesight of every single Christian in every single church. So this ascension is essential to our faith.
the essential ascension.
Exactly. To the actual future of the church, because it was not possible under the realm of Jesus Christ. Because again, we believe in the humanity of Christ. As much as we do his deity.
Well, and that brings us to where Christ went and what he does now, which is beautiful. The other aspect of the ascension that's very important to us as Christians is that now he is before the throne room of God and he is making intercession for us. Now, I have to share a personal story here. You didn't know I was going to do this.
No.
You're getting nervous, aren't you? Like, this is unscripted.
I'm so afraid you're going rogue.
Yes, I am. We never know. No, this is a personal story. It's actually this truth that you brought home to me in a time in my life where I really needed it. And I've shared it before when I've taught at different events. But I don't think we've ever shared it on the podcast. So a few years ago, my mother had passed away. And my mother is one of the greatest prayer warriors that I've ever had in my life. I knew, like, when I was speaking somewhere, as we began the church, and parenting issues, marital issues, anything that I needed prayer for.
Back in 2011.
Yes.
We had a marital issue.
We had a problem then.
We disagreed. Honestly,
she was. She was my prayer warrior. Yeah. She was a counselor and a prayer warrior for me. And I knew that if I needed prayer, my mom was praying for me and would pray specifically if I shared a request with her. And I can remember it was about 6 months that from, you know, the time of her diagnosis to her passing. And I remember during that time, the Lord was so gracious and his grace was so present during every moment. But I remember one day in particular, I had just come from a Bible conference. It was just this moment of satanic attack, really, because I had just come from this beautiful day where the Lord had been working in my life. And I was driving home to come see you and the kids. And I can tell you exactly where I was on the road. I'll never forget it. I mean, you talk about almost hearing the voice of Satan. There was no audible voice, folks, but I'm telling you, the thought came to my mind out of nowhere. Who's going to pray for you now?
Mm. Yeah.
And that may not sound like a big deal, but it broke me in a serious way.
Yeah.
I remember the darkest moment of my mom's passing was that moment.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I was close to home. I was bawling by the time I got inside to you because it terrified me.
Yeah.
The thought of my mother not being there to pray for me. And some of you need to hear this because you're struggling with the loss of a relationship. And what am I going to do now? Who's going to be there for me? And I'll never forget, I got home and you talk about the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit gave you these words. I came in and shared that with you, Josh. And I'm just crying. And I remember you hugged me. And I believe filled with the Holy Spirit, you spoke these words to me. Honey, don't you know? The Lord Jesus is in heaven praying for you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was, and it just stopped all the tears and all the fear because I realized, you're right. He ever liveth to make intercession. He is before the throne of God right now praying for the things that I don't even know how to put utterance to. In fact, a better prayer warrior than my sweet mother even was because he sees deeper into that issue that I'm facing. He sees what really needs to happen in my heart. How I really will get victory may not be that outward victory, but something internal that he does and teaches me.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're going to be having a future podcast on Bible Facts About Heaven. And one thing that I learned later on, not only is Jesus praying, but the saints in heaven, that great cloud of witnesses are also praying. So if you've lost a loved one like I have, my mother, your loved one,
pray for you.
They're still praying for you. But that is what the Lord does. Part of the ascension is that wonderful truth that Christ is making that intercession for us.
He is the advocate. He's the one who physically in one place throughout time now until the end of time will be your advocate, my advocate,
Amen.
Speaking on our behalf to the Father. This is an amazing thing. So
and
we have the Holy
Spirit.
If we could
grasp the power of that.
Yeah.
I think that's something we really don't think about. We feel like we're alone in life. We feel like we're without spiritual protection.
It's just not true.
Not true for the
Christian.
It's
because you cannot, just because you cannot see it happening doesn't mean it's not taking place. And so we see this is all part of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. He has ascended to his place where he needs to be so that the Holy Spirit can be in the place that he needs to be so that we could all be in the place where we need
to be. See, this is big. This is my favorite part of the ascension. I know we've got more to talk about the future of how he's going to be exalted, but I could just camp on this for hours because it's such a sweet truth. But we won't.
Well, where
we'll
it goes
on.
Is that he does. His exaltation continues.
Mm.
Into the future, Jesus will continue to be even more highly exalted, which shouldn't surprise us, right? We live in a day and age right now where the name of Jesus is not exalted among the heathen, among the unbeliever. In fact, it is denigrated. It is even used as slang or even cursing. And we will see that that will end. The exaltation of Jesus continues into the future, and Jesus will ultimately return in all power. And the Jesus that comes back is the same one that left us, but he comes back with a different goal.
Yes, he does. He's coming back to be exalted in power, where every knee is going to bow, where recognition will be given. He's going to be coming back to reign for 1,000 years. We call that the millennial reign of Christ. You can read about that in Revelation 20, chapter 20.
And after 1,000 years, he accomplishes what he does at the Battle of Armageddon. He rules and reigns for 1,000 years from Jerusalem over the entire world. And then Jesus will be the object of glory and honor in the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom of heaven, for all eternity, everlasting to everlasting. And this is a beautiful concept.
I love thinking about this, Josh, because maybe you're like me. I like things to be right. It really bothers me when things aren't as they should be.
Right.
And this brings so much satisfaction to my heart. And, you know, the Bible talks about praying, Lord, come back quickly, desiring his appearing. And nothing makes me desire that or cherish that thought. I'll just whisper it to the Lord. Lord, just come back today because I am ready to see you in your rightful place. You're so worthy of this, God. I know you're worthy. And I just want to worship you physically. I want the world to see you as you are, for everything to be unveiled and for you to be exalted as
is
due.
It is a beautiful, and I hate to use the word because it seems shallow in the sense of who the Messiah is to the world, but the story arc of Jesus, the same person that is kneeling, fallen down in front of a wooden cross, bleeding out, about to be nailed to the cross in the dust and the dirt, in the mire, with his modesty outraged, at the lowest point, spat upon by the crowds and beaten by the Roman soldiers, that same person will be the eternal, glorious God of heaven who will rule and reign with love and compassion for all eternity. That is why the gospel story is the most powerful thing ever told, and the most beautiful redemption story I've ever received. So I'm so excited because now we're able to transition in our theological conversations to some episodes to come about what we call pneumatology, or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now that we know what Jesus is doing, where he's at, what he does as our intercessor and advocate, how does this third person of the Trinity, as you call him, the forgotten God, how does he minister to us and speak to us? What is his personhood all about? I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. I think it's going to be something that is going to encourage your heart and bring hopefully change and power into our lives as we realize what God can do through us.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question for people listening. Have you reviewed our podcast?
Whoa, that got intensely personal.
I want to know if you have gone on and given us 5 stars.
Because if not, what are you waiting
for?
What
are you waiting
for?
Now you say, somebody might be like, I don't know how. Well, then email us. We'll walk you through it. That's totally fine. You can easily go on to the iTunes podcast, look up our podcast, and you can give us 5 stars. And then especially if you could spend 20 seconds by writing a little nice review. Doing this, you have no idea how the algorithms change. What that means is more people will be able to see this podcast.
Thank you, Professor Josh.
If you do algorithm. That. So please do, because if you're enjoying this
really
podcast,
would appreciate that.
It can help others find this podcast who are either Bible believers and don't know theology. Maybe they're new Christians and they need to learn their theology, or maybe they're unbelievers. They just don't know how glorious Jesus Christ and his word are. So go ahead and take 30 seconds to do that. We would be greatly appreciative.
We're so glad you joined us today. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening and participating. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.